This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Welcome to our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and it's going to focus on heat stress feeding strategies. And it's going to get hot, no question about it. When it gets hot, we start following the temperature humidity index. And when that number gets over 68, these cows are now under heat stress. And of course, we have some real challenges when we look at the feeding programs. For example, we know cows eat less dry matter because they know as they eat more dry matter, the amount of heat produced will go up in their body. Second of all, variable intake. Cows will tend to eat during cooler times of daytime and nighttime, so that's going to be important. We also know that blood flow to the rumen is reduced primarily because the cow now is venting more of the blood to the extremes to try to dissipate heat as well. We also know that the rumen pH can drop about 0.2 points, irrespective of any dietary effects as well. And, of course, there's a change in rate passage. So the question, Bill, that we want to, well, what can we do to try to lessen the impacts of these heat stress on the feeding program? Well, let's look at several factors. The first one's going to be energy. And, of course, anything I can do to increase dry matter intake by decreasing or improving NDF digestibility in the forages will be a real plus because of the higher intake potential, and it will generate less heat of fermentation as well. If there is room in the diet, I could increase starch levels. Usually when we get over 28 to 29% starch, that's probably about the maximum. However, I could add fat. And, of course, we can get that fat from oil seeds or from some of the commercial products on the marketplace here. The beauty of fat is that it doesn't cause increase in heat increment, and it can be used directly as an energy source in the dairy cow ration. We can also remove some of the forages from the program, therefore improving dry matter intake and replacing them with byproduct feeds such as soy hulls, almond hulls, citrus pulp, and products like that. Then let's look at protein. Well, the real key here is going to be that we may need to increase rumen undegraded protein because if dry matter drops and the rumen environment is running a bit lower in pH, the amount of amino acids coming from microbial protein can decline. So I may have to buy those extra amino acids for these cows under heat stress. Another factor with rations is palatability. Is it going to be attractive to the cow to consume the diet? Of course, what we want to avoid is secondary fermentation due to molding or just heating up with the daily temperature as well. So we could look at such things as feed bunk stabilizers. These are normally blends of a propionic and acetic acid in the feeding program. Increasing corn silage can be a plus because corn silage has a lower pH and will drop the ration pH, therefore stabilizing it a bit longer in the feeding program. And cows really like corn silage. And we could look at molasses as a way to try to increase palatability. Perhaps the biggest factor is going to be DCAD, dietary cation difference, and we're going to target a number over 350 milliequivalents per kilogram. We're going to do that using sodium bicarb and a sodium carbonate, and these are both sources of potassium and sodium, which are lost under heat stress, and second of all, the buffers will improve rumen pH and improve dynamics in the rumen. Some neat work by Tom Jenkins from South Carolina, Clemson University, found that the potassium source is important. And they looked at four different sources, and of course, the potassium carbonate was the winner on this one. Potassium chloride did nothing, even though it is a good source of potassium there. The potassium carbonate, we saw an increase of about 8 pounds of fat-corrected milk, and part of that was due to higher butterfat tests. So our take-home message is heat stress is coming. Baby, it's going to get hot out there, and determine your strategies here in the future than when it occurs. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike, and have a great weekend. Dr. Mike Hutchins is Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, and he is featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday.
Get control of flies on your dairy operation with an integrated pest management program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products from Central Life Sciences. Clarifly Larvicide offers feed-through control that prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated animals by as much as 96%. And Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that address fly problems in all areas of your dairy operation. Flies can spread disease and lead to decreases in milk quality and yields. Learn how to limit their impact at centralflycontrol.com.
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
For archive programs, head to dairyradio.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.